Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The U.S. has surpassed a once unthinkable milestone. 1 million deaths are now being attributed to COVID-19. Which groups have been hit the hardest? Plus, McDonald's has announced it's leaving Russia nearly 3 months after the war in Ukraine began. Will others follow?
There's a lot of Western companies that have paused their operations and they haven't made a final decision. And with McDonald's being so monumental and such a leader in the consumer branding world, we have to imagine that other executives will look to this as guidance.
And why housekeepers want hotel guests to speak up. It's Monday, May 16th. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. This is the PM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories that moved the world today. It's been more than 2 years since the U.S. recorded its first COVID-19 death. Today, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention announced that the U.S. has surpassed 1 million deaths due to the virus. The greatest impact has been felt among the elderly and Black and Hispanic Americans. The mortality count is reflected in death certificates recorded by the CDC, at least 90% of which list COVID-19 as the underlying cause of death. In the others, it is listed as a contributing cause. Experts say the true death toll from the virus is likely even higher. Turkey is leveraging its key role in NATO to make demands of Finland and Sweden as they seek to join the alliance. Turkey's president has accused the two countries of harboring what he said were Kurdish militants who belong to a group targeting Turkey. He's also calling for Finland and Sweden to drop restrictions on arms sales to Turkey. All 30 NATO members must approve any new members. The Kurds are an ethnic group spread primarily across Turkey, Syria, Iraq, and Iran that lack their own independent state. Tens of thousands of Kurds live in Sweden, where 6 members of parliament are of Kurdish descent. Senior officials from Sweden, Finland, and Turkey are set to meet for talks. The Supreme Court has struck down a campaign finance regulation that set a limit for politicians looking to repay loans they made to their own campaigns from donations received after Election Day. In a conservative 6-3 majority, the court said that a cap of $250,000 for campaign loan repayments post-election constituted a limitation of free speech. In a dissent, Justice Elena Kagan said that political contributions after a candidate's election pose a, quote, special danger of corruption. Texas Senator Ted Cruz brought the suit as a test case. In his 2018 face-off, he lent his campaign $260,000, leaving a $10,000 difference to be litigated. In Washington, disagreements are emerging over a bill that's meant to boost U.S. competitiveness against China. The legislation would expand federal investment in high-tech research like quantum computing and dedicate $52 billion in new subsidies to rebuild semiconductor manufacturing in the U.S. But lawmakers are at odds over certain points, like national security reviews of outbound U.S. foreign investments, waivers of tariffs on Chinese imports, and curbs on the sale of counterfeit goods online. EV startup Rivian is suing a key seat supplier, saying the company has nearly doubled the price per unit the two agreed upon and that the dispute could delay deliveries of an electric van ordered by Amazon. The auto supplier Commercial Vehicle Group denies the claims. Wall Street Journal reporter Ryan Felton says the dispute is the latest in a string of setbacks for Rivian.
Rivian's stock price has been kind of on a tailspin since its initial public offering last fall, and that's been attributed to a number of things, you know, in part being trouble getting parts, which is a common thread across the whole industry, and also that it had cut its expected production guidance for the year in half. You know, so I think another setback, if this were to become a firm thing that they could not reach an agreement with this company, it could hurt their financial picture even more.
A California judge has struck down a state law that requires companies to have at least 2 or 3 women on their boards or face financial penalties. Judge Maureen Duffy Lewis says the 2018 law is unconstitutional because it violates California's Equal Protection Clause. Last month, a different judge from the same court ruled against a similar law that requires public companies to have at least 1 racially, ethnically, or otherwise diverse director by 2021. Challenges to both laws were brought by the conservative legal group Judicial Watch. And a new study says about 80 million residential and commercial properties in the U.S. face some risk of wildfire damage in the next 30 years. That's according to a model from the nonprofit research firm First Street Foundation. Wildfires have already caused tens of billions of dollars in damage in recent years, and many scientists expect them to become more frequent and intense in the future, due in part to climate change. Coming up, McDonald's is exiting Russia. Why it has made the decision now, and how it could influence other Western companies. That's after the break.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
McDonald's has been in Russia for 3 decades, but today it joined a raft of other companies calling it quits. The fast food giant had already reduced its presence in Russia by closing hundreds of stores since the invasion of Ukraine. Now it says it will exit the country completely and sell its business. Western companies have been under greater pressure to sever ties with Russia, and McDonald's is one of the biggest names to do so. But why now, and what impact might the company's exit have on other Western businesses still operating in the country? Joining me now with more on this is Wall Street Journal food reporter Annie Gasparro. Hi, Annie. Thanks for being here.
Thanks so much for having me.
So, Annie, let's start by talking about McDonald's history in Russia. It was among the Western companies that began moving business there around the time of the fall of the Soviet Union. How significant was that move in the 1990s, and how has the company's business grown in Russia since then?
You know, it was really a dramatic change and symbolic of the Westernization of the area, and it has grown and just been very successful as a brand. So this is definitely a noticeable move, and consumers will notice it in Russia. And this is really taking the wind out of a potential expansion area for McDonald's.
McDonald's did take steps in March to close hundreds of stores in Russia. Why did the company wait until now to completely announce its exit of the business in Russia? What's prompting this at this time?
McDonald's said that they have been considering a number of factors, and one of those is that it just doesn't make good business sense, and another is that operating in Russia isn't aligned with the company's values anymore. So there's a lot of things that they've been taking into consideration over the past couple of months, and it really led them to make a decision now ahead of any more uncertainty and anxiety from shareholders about what's going on with the business. And I think there has been investors who just want to know what's going to happen. The uncertainty is never good for a stock. So with the market conditions overall being not very favorable, it just made sense for McDonald's to come out and put an end to the uncertainty. And we don't, like I said, know, you know, precisely what executives were thinking about making this announcement this week. But, you know, it was a decision they've been weighing for a couple months now. And it's not surprising that they would make the call at a time when investors are looking for some more certainty and less angst in the stock market.
Annie, what will this exit mean for the company financially and in terms of its business?
Well, Russia and Ukraine made up about 9% of McDonald's total company revenue last year. And a lot of those restaurants are owned by the company, not franchisees. And so this decision, it will require McDonald's to record an accounting charge of between $1.2 and $1.4 billion. But in the end, it will have a benefit to profitability for the company. One big consideration that McDonald's had as they weighed what decision they would make is the 62,000 people that they employ there. They have been paying their employees since they temporarily closed in March. And so this decision was going to have a huge impact on the economy in Russia and on just those consumers' lives, those employees' lives. And so McDonald's was stuck in this tough position as their decision doesn't just impact the country and the officials running the country, but it has a major impact on everyday Russians.
Annie, what will this mean for the company's restaurants and for its branding in Russia? What happens to all of those things?
Well, they are calling it the de-arching because at those restaurants, they will no longer use the McDonald's name or logo or any branding or even the same menu. But when they sell those restaurants, the buyer can start running them as a completely different restaurant right away. So McDonald's won't have a presence as a brand in Russia anymore, which is huge. And, you know, this could pave the way for other Western companies who have been holding out on making a final decision as they pause their operations there.
What other factors were impacting McDonald's Russia business?
McDonald's was dealing with supply chain challenges related to the war. And they were also dealing with sanctions. And they are dealing with some legal questions as to whether they could legally do business in Russia. So there were a lot of factors that went into this decision. And making such a monumental move really will go on to pave the way for McDonald's going forward with how they operate in the country. There's a question as to whether, since they've said that it's no longer aligned with their values, you know, if the war ends, can they go back and re-enter the country? Or will they have completely burned that bridge, so to speak, with consumers in Russia?
How are other companies viewing this move?
I would think that other Western companies, particularly consumer brands, another big one in Russia is Mondelez, which has all the Nabisco brands like Oreos. I would think that they're looking at this and going to use McDonald's decision to help guide them on whether they reopen. There's a lot of Western companies that have paused their operations and they haven't made a final decision. And with McDonald's being so monumental and such a leader in the consumer branding world, we have to imagine that other executives will look to this as guidance.
Wall Street Journal food reporter Annie Gasparo. Annie, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you so much for having me.
And finally, in the early stages of the pandemic, hotels pulled back on daily room cleaning to minimize infection risks to guests and housekeeping staff. Instead, staff would clean by request. That also helped hotels lower their expenses as they dealt with staffing shortages. But the move to reduce daily cleaning has caused tensions between hotels and housekeepers. Our travel reporter Allison Poley says that housekeeping staff are now pushing back and counting on hotels to follow the mantra that the customer is always right.
Right now, the largest union of housekeepers in North America is asking guests to request daily service. And the housekeepers want this because without it, they say that they have reduced hours because they're not tidying rooms as frequently. They're only cleaning them at checkout. And because of that, their work is harder. So they're having to clean rooms that haven't been touched in 3-4 days. There's a lot of trash buildup, a lot of towels. It's a lot harder physical work on them. So they're asking guests, because it's up to the guest, to request the service daily.
And that's what's news for this Monday afternoon. We'll be back tomorrow morning. If you like what you hear, please rate and review us. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal.